The world's largest pure battery electric ferry has just been launched in Tasmania, and the interior is now being fitted out before it's shipped to South America, where it will ferry people and vehicles between Montevideo in Uruguay and Buenos Aires in Argentina. And this new all-electric ferry gives us a perfect opportunity to see what our alleged all-electric future might look like, and what sort of infrastructure is required to make even one single solitary electric ferry viable in the real world. Many people don't know this, but Tasmanian company Incat are a major player in the global ferry manufacturing industry, which is impressive, and I'm happy for them. But they're also going hard down this sustainable shipping angle, and, well, I just don't buy it. We've been told by our politicians and by the renewables carpetbaggers that electric is the future, that not only can we run our entire grid on electricity from wind and solar, but that we can run our transport as well, including heavy transport like ocean-going ferries. And whilst I'm sure the people who decided to make this ferry run on battery electric power meant all the very best, that doesn't automatically mean that it's going to do the world any good. Because, as we'll see in this video, battery electric power requires a huge amount of duplication of batteries and related infrastructure, which, in my opinion, completely obliterates any claimed environmental benefits. But if it were going to work somewhere, this route between Uruguay and Argentina, well, that would be a pretty good place to start, because whilst there is 200 kilometers between the two cities, the ferries go via two other towns in Uruguay, stopping off along the way, which, believe it or not, is going to be kind of important, because despite having 250 tons of batteries on board, this brand new battery electric ferry does not have the range to go 200 kilometers non-stop. The ABC published a puff piece about this new ferry last year. We're going to go through a bit of a reality check on a few of the article's claims and show why this ferry, far from being the claimed giant leap forward for electric transport, actually proves the opposite, that an all-electric heavy transport industry would be an environmental disaster in its own right. But before we get to that, my name's Topher Field, this is The Topher Project, and I help busy people like you to cut through the crap that comes out from our politicians, our bureaucrats, and our ABC. And I help to make sense of the nonsense so that you can keep up with the world as it changes around us, without getting hoodwinked by, well, I don't know, green industry grifters, just to name one example. I'm 100% viewer supported. I have no sponsors, no advertisers. I answer to no one but my own conscience, which means I'm free to say whatever I believe to be true on any given topic. But it also means that I rely on you, my viewers, to help me to keep the Topher Project going. And you can help me by going to topherfield.com and buying me a coffee via the button on the homepage. And while you're there, do check out the shop button, where you'll find my best-selling books, my award-winning DVD, and a range of merch, including t-shirts, hoodies, caps, and stickers. And everything you buy will help me to keep the Topher Project going. The vessel is called the China Zorilla. Nothing to do with the country of China. It's actually named after a famous Uruguayan actress who passed away in 2014, just in case you were wondering. And the manufacturer claims that the onboard electrical energy system is four times bigger than the previous biggest electrical system on another ship. But even with that, it has a range of only 80 to 160 kilometers. And whilst the builder is quick to assure readers that this will only improve with future technological advancements, I think we've all learned to take such assurances with a grain of salt by now. Now, you may be wondering why the big difference in the upper and lower range estimates. Well, that's because despite all of our technology, we are still very much at the mercy of nature. And if there's a heavy swell out to sea, the vessel will have to use nearly twice the energy to go the same distance. But of course, they have to plan for a heavy swell, so in the real world, they have to plan a route that never exceeds the minimum range estimate, in this case 80 kilometers. And in the case of this particular route between Montevideo and Buenos Aires, that's fine, because this ferry will stop at two other towns along the coast in between those two cities, and as long as it recharges at every single stop, it'll be fine. But that brings me to the first glaring problem with the environmental credentials of this plan, because that means that there's got to be four charging locations. 3 if we're optimistic about it, but probably 4. And we're not talking about like domestic power points here, nor are we even talking about high-speed vehicle chargers. Those 250 tons of onboard batteries can hold more than 40 megawatt hours of energy. And that's a lot. And remember, it might need to use all of that onboard energy to travel just 80 kilometers in heavy seas. And again, they have to plan for the worst case scenario, otherwise a heavy swell could cause them to fall off schedule. So that means that each and every charging location has to be capable of supplying them with something like 30 to 35 megawatt hours of energy every time they recharge. And they claim that a recharge will take about 40 minutes, which means if you do the math, and I'm going to charitably take the lower estimate of 30 megawatt hours of energy needed in 40 minutes, that means that the chargers have to supply 45 megawatts of power continuously for those 40 minutes. Well, how much is 45 megawatts? For reference, Tesla's superchargers offer 250 kilowatts of continuous power, assuming that the infrastructure is there to support that speed, which means that this ferry needs the equivalent of about 180 Tesla fast chargers in at least 3, if not 4, of its berthing locations along its route, just so that it can charge up and make the next leg of the journey. All of that infrastructure for one ferry. But that's just the charging infrastructure. They then have to have the energy available, either from the grid or from on-site battery storage. Now, getting that kind of power from the grid is likely to be an unreliable plan, given that these ferries run day and night, so you can't rely on grid-scale solar always being available. So if they want to run these electric ferries on green energy, they're going to need their own batteries to store green energy on site so that it's available for recharging at each port. And that means that to reliably charge the 250 tons of batteries on board, they're going to need about 250 tons of batteries at each charging location. Meaning that for this one ferry to be able to sail a 200 kilometer route with 250 tons of batteries on board, they're going to need something somewhere between 750 and 1,000 tons of additional batteries on land. But that's just to ensure they have the energy supply available on demand. It still doesn't actually generate the electricity. For that, they need a vast array of solar panels, again, at each and every port, so that these on-land batteries are full when the ferry comes into port at whatever time of day or night. 1,000 plus tons of batteries between the boat and the ports, plus a dedicated solar farm at each port, just for one ferry, with a reliable range in bad sea conditions of less than 100 kilometers. This is supposed to be the future. For reference, the Spirit of Tasmania ferry travels about 400 kilometers one way. Can you imagine the size of the batteries, and therefore the size of the mines, needed to supply the minerals, needed to convert the Spirit of Tassie to be an all-electric ferry? This is what they call saving the environment. It's all being done in the name of reducing CO2 emissions and saving the world from climate change. But as I've said before, and I'll say it again now, pursuing the wrong solution is worse than doing nothing. The environmental impact of the mining, the purifying, the manufacturing, the installing, and later the recycling and remanufacturing of 1,000 tons of batteries for one ferry is mind-bogglingly absurd. Now, critics will point out that mining, refining, and distributing marine diesel also carries environmental impacts, and that's true. But that infrastructure is already in place. And let's not forget, global CO2 emissions continue to rise, seemingly without regard for all the alleged renewable revolutions that are supposedly happening all over the world. And adding a new energy supply chain, this additional electric supply chain, as a duplicate of the existing diesel energy supply chain, is simply not necessary and is therefore environmental waste. Oh, but you have to start somewhere, the green carpetbaggers will insist. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, don't you know? Sure, but if that single step is in the direction of a dead end, then it's not helping. It's actually taking you backwards, making things worse. I've done videos in the past about the fact that we have two energy supply chains. One is the electricity grid that we're all familiar with. The other is the liquid energy supply chain, diesel and petrol mostly. And when you do the math, the amount of energy supplied in liquid form in Australia is a pretty close match for the amount of energy supplied in our electrical energy grid. Which means that if we're going to phase out liquid fuels and replace all of that energy with battery electric vehicles and battery electric heavy transport, our electricity grid will have to supply twice as much energy every day as what it does right now. And we would have to duplicate batteries all over the place to ensure that the energy is available when we need to recharge these vehicles at all hours of the day and night. Now, the backers of the China Zarilla claim that she is a giant leap forward in sustainable shipping. I call bullshit. If this is what it takes to switch one ferry over to all electric to perform the function of a short-range ferry, then in truth, the China Zarilla serves to demonstrate, not that any more proof was needed, that the fantasy of an all-electric heavy transport industry is just that. It's a fantasy. But hey, at least she's proof that we still build things here in Australia. For now. My name's Topher Field. This is The Topher Project, and I help busy people like you to keep up with the world as it changes around us. I am 100% viewer supported, and if you appreciate what I'm doing here at The Topher Project, then please support my work by buying me a coffee via the button at topherfield.com. And while you're there, check out the shop, where you'll find my best-selling books, my multi-award-winning DVD, t-shirts, hoodies, caps, and stickers, and everything you buy will help me to keep The Topher Project going. Thank you for watching to the end. The algorithm loves you, and so do I. Please like, comment, subscribe, and as always, think free.